to Social Geek Radio, brought to you by Deb Evans Consulting and Kigo. Unlock your digital potential. Here are your hosts, Deb Evans and Jack Munson.
Hello, geeks. Social Geek Radio is somewhat live. How you doing tonight, Deb?
We're good. All good. I love Social Geek Radio. We're going to have some fun stuff this month. I mean, it's going to be a busy, busy October for us.
Yes. And first topic tonight, we can probably fit in more things to talk about in this busy month due to some changes happening at Twitter.
How about that? I mean, so I'm really curious. You and I haven't really discussed this, but, you know, this whole new Twitter's interface is going to change so that no longer, you know, they count down the characters at the end of a tweet and we can go more than 140 characters. What do you think about that?
I don't like it.
I was pretty sure you're going to be the same mindset as I am. I don't like it either. And it's funny, I had a conversation over the weekend and people were saying, oh, why not? It's like, because that's why I joined Twitter, because I have to talk in 140 characters, which is really hard for me to do. I have to think about it, or really 120 so somebody else can add to it. But
And even more important, everybody else has to keep it under 140 and it makes you think about it. It makes you concise. You have to have a level of clarity. And, you know, or you could do what Donald Trump does. And if you need more, just go dot, 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 and then put out another tweet. And that's fine.
I agree. I don't think it's going to stick around. I think when it rolls, it'll roll in and then it's going to roll out. It's going to be one of those things that we, you know, advertise it's coming and here it is and it doesn't work and then it's going to disappear. That's my call.
I don't like it from a branding standpoint with Twitter that was their shtick, right? That's 140 characters. If you want more, write a blog. Right. If you want more than that, write a newspaper article. But if you're going to tweet, it's 140 characters. So I don't like it from a branding standpoint. And I know Twitter has to do something because they're not exactly rolling in dough these days. So I don't see how this is a moneymaker. I don't see the value for the customers. I don't see any value for the advertisers. I don't get it. I mean, at the very least, I guess there's some PR value because here we are talking about it. And, you know, people have been talking about it here and there on, you know, cable news and other places. But if that's all you got, you're just doing this just for some publicity, then I say, tweeps, go back to the drawing board. But
agreed.
We'll see how it goes.
We'll see. So so something that's a little bit more complex, I guess, but we should all be aware of. We've got Cybersecurity Month is this month in October, and that's a topic that we need to discuss more.
Yes.
Why don't you bring out our guest? Because I am no expert on this. We need help.
Nor am I. So we looked high and low and found a good friend of ours who could come on and speak to us about what's the deal with cybersecurity these days. So please welcome Aubrey Codier of NetSurion. She's the regional director of sales for the West Coast. How you doing, Aubrey?
Hey, I'm great. How are you?
Doing very well, and I'm prepared for you to tell us some things that are probably going to be a little bit scary, but we all know everything will be okay if we just do some planning and you know, get things set up ahead of time. So let's just start off very broadly. What's new in cybersecurity? What are the things that we need to sort of start with to have a conversation for our brands and our companies and our franchise systems?
Well, like you said, cybersecurity is just, it's very complex. You know, there's a lot of moving pieces. There's constantly change. It's internally, one of our leaders has said it very well. He said it's kind of a cat and mouse game and we have to be right every time and the bad guys only have to be right once. So we're constantly on this, as a security company, on high alert to protect our clients, protect ourselves, and really keep everyone safe. And I think, you know, there's just been a huge evolution. It used to be the hacker was the guy in a hoodie that sat outside of a business. I think that's kind of the stereotypical thought process that we have, but really it's gone from the experts where we have, you know, kind of global warfare, or you see those political wars and stuff like that, to anybody being able to buy a ransomware package online and just release it. It's kind of like it's moved from being super targeted to almost like a gas spreading chemical attack, if that makes sense. And I know it sounds very doomsday-y, but it is also very real.
And so, these hackers are not just, like you said, a guy in a hoodie. I mean, we're really talking about potentially government-sponsored hackers or other large organizations, that it isn't just the kid down the street like we all like to think, right?
Correct. I mean, and so it can be as targeted, like you said, as a government-sponsored hack, or it can also still be the kid down the street, the kid who is trying to create some extra money. So they buy a ransomware kit and just start spreading the virus. It's not the reason why it is so complex and why you need some type of partnership and some type of plan is that it's constantly evolving. So, you know, the big breach that we saw a couple weeks ago where 143 million people's information was stolen, that was a very targeted attack. But when you're talking about small businesses that get impacted, those can just be those chance opening a bad email or the ransomware plugged into your system. It's not always intentionally aimed at one specific person. So, okay. You know, it's important to have a plan. It's important to work with companies like Neturian or other places that our whole goal, our whole existence is driven on keeping people protected. It's definitely a new frontier.
So let's talk about a few ways that you personally or your business could be breached.
So I think that the one that we've all heard about for a long time, you know, is the phishing email scams. And I know the three of us are all friends on Facebook. I've posted several examples just recently where a bad agent, a hacker, will really emulate and copy an email to the T from Google. One of the ones that I had was Amazon, where they were inviting me to participate in, it was some elite Amazon shopper group, and I shop on Amazon every day. So I looked at it and I was like, the formatting is a little weird. Hmm. It looks pretty realistic, but I'm a little more keen to these things now that I've joined this team. And it ended up being a phishing scheme. So if I would have opened the email, if I would have given them my information, I would have just given free pass to all my credit card information that's on there and who knows what else. So that's kind of the most common way that we think of. I know recently some businesses were hit with their restaurants. So they were sending a PDF file attachment that said, oh, this is our catering order. So once they opened the file to look at the catering order, it was actually a malicious file that then could have gotten to their system. So you have employees that think they're doing their job or they're helping their customers. Hotels, this happens a lot as well. But it's a very well-hidden malicious agent that's going to attack the systems. And then the biggest issue that we're facing right now is ransomware. In the last year alone, I think in 2015, there were 3 million ransomware hits. In 2016, that spiked to 638 million. In 2017, who knows, right? We have the big ones, the WannaCry, the Petya viruses. And ransomware is awful. It gets into your system and it completely shuts it down. So you can't send emails. If you're processing credit cards at a cash register, you can't do any of that. And the way to get out of it, in theory, is to pay the ransom. But what happens even with that is sometimes the files are so encrypted that the people that you're paying to now release your information can't give it back to you. Wow. So you've paid thousands of dollars to release your system and you're still systemless, or pieces are.
So if you get hit with that, if you haven't put some sort of protection in ahead of time, is there anything you can do about it? Or is this a, once you're hit with it, you're pretty much toast. So we've got to plan ahead to make sure it doesn't happen.
You're kind of toast, right? So you call the FBI, you start engaging on all these big campaigns, and you can pay to have your files unencrypted. But it's not a guarantee you're going to get them all back. And so that's why, you know, backing up your systems, having security solutions. We have something, it's a SIM, it's an event management system. It's pretty instantaneous. So what it does is when it catches a bad agent coming onto your system, there's all these back-end rankings that they're doing to make sure your files are safe, but it captures that bad guy that's trying to come in and puts it in a honeypot. So it doesn't infect anything else. So it totally quarantines it and removes it away from the rest of your world, the rest of your infrastructure. So the
and you call that a SIM, right? That's the
SIM. Yep.
SIEM. I've seen that before, but I wasn't really clear on what that does for me.
Yeah, SIM is kind of like the next generation of cybersecurity. So if we were to talk about where it started, you know, you had your general antivirus. I'm sure, you know, you guys have that on your system. So like a McAfee or something like that.
Right.
Security started with that. And then it evolved to having firewalls. So you're managing what's coming in and out of your network. But those kind of traditional measures, while they're extremely valuable and you need to have them, because of the advances in, we're just going to call them bad guys, in those malicious activities, this is where SIM solutions like that really come into play. Because I think how I like to describe cybersecurity is it's like a castle wall around your village, right? So your business, your point of sale systems, all those things are your township. And cybersecurity becomes that castle wall with your guards, your moats, anything like that. That's kind of the way to think about what it does. And SIM is almost, I like to say AI, but I don't think that that's correct. It's just the way my brain assesses it. But it learns the behavior. It knows what you're supposed to be doing, when you're supposed to be doing it.
Okay.
It provides like real-time, instantaneous feedback on what's happening in your network. You get alerts, it grabs it and it stops it. So SIM is definitely the direction of where cybersecurity is going, and we have that with our event tracker, but it's actionable intelligence.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love that analogy. It's great.
It really, it helps. I'm not the most technical person.
Yeah. It makes sense to me. And I'm not either the most technical. So, I mean, I could visualize what you were just describing. It's like, okay, I think I get it.
Yeah. It paints a good picture. And I think not being technical necessarily, I remember at my old company, I would if a client was like, something went wrong with our software, I would email my IT person and be like, oh, somebody's link broke. And they'd be like, well, what does that mean? Where did it break? When we're not people that kind of operate in that world, I think we think we're giving directions very clear when in fact we haven't. And the point of a SIM solution or those technologies is it's not, you don't question where, what, or why. You know, instantly, oh, it was Aubrey Poudier's laptop. She clicked or opened this file from this person and we pulled it away. Because with security, when you're managing, let's say a huge franchise system with 500 computers on the network, you know, just somebody saying, oh, I have something's not working. Or if it happens at 2 a.m, you need to know exactly how, when, and why. Mm-hmm. And that's where SIM comes in.
Our franchise systems, we all work with franchise systems here. Are they sort of more susceptible to some of these things due to the nature of their structure? You know, they're not corporate owned and all have, you know, the same issued gear from headquarters and that kind of thing. Is there an issue there with franchise systems?
I'm going to say yes. I mean, and I think most people would agree, because the strength of franchising, right, is that you have different owners in different locations. So they're bringing brand awareness. But the struggle is that they are independently owned businesses. And one just recent article that came out, you know, we have that big breach just last week from a point of sale out of system that serves, I think it was so many thousands of people a day. It was a point of sale system that got affected. And so corporate knows what's going on at corporate, but they don't necessarily know what's happening at the franchisee level in a system like that. And so it becomes a lot harder to contain the issue. But when it goes to the news, when it goes to media, they're going to say, you know, it was this big chain that got breached when maybe it was only 50 owners. And it never impacted the brand. So I think that's a real struggle that franchise systems are facing, in that there is kind of that diverse ownership. There's a diverse landscape and what technology is being used. And so encouraging a systemization of policy and security would really be in everybody's benefit. And I mean, we're even seeing that movement in government where they're trying to create bills and responsibility for breaches because they're so bad when they happen. The cost to the consumer is actually huge.
Yeah, and there's so many with the franchise system, there's so many additional people who may or may not be connected in with the brand, and you know, I'm thinking about CRM systems that are shared across franchisees, and people may be checking something on their phone, or they may be checking the CRM from a laptop or their personal tablet device. So it just seems like we start getting out into the fringes real quick, and mm-hmm. to me that's kind of where the danger is, right?
Correct. I mean, we're so mobile, we're so on the go just generally as people and in business. And so we're using a lot of open networks to, like you said, check a CRM or check our work email. And those are all penetration points, and it can quickly run through the funnel. You know, these are viruses, they spread. So when those stop points, those checks aren't in place, it just opens it up to everybody. And that's why they become so big. That's why there becomes so much loss from, you know, a single breach in Alabama could impact everything.
So if I'm a franchisor and we haven't, knock on wood, been hit yet with anything like this, what should I be planning for? What questions should I be asking providers or partners or my internal team to get something in place?
It's a big question, right? So there's preliminary steps people could be looking at. I mean, when you're talking about an industry that's accepting payments or has personal information, there's certain compliance features just to start with. So I know John Chrisley was on here. He's our CISO a couple months ago, and he was talking about PCI compliance, right? So these are we compliant? That's question number one, because in compliance, there is safety. Do you have kind of, I know with PR, do you have an aftermath plan for when it goes down? What do we do and how do we announce it? Because with breaches, the quicker you respond to them and the more checks you have in place. So if you're PCI compliant, right, I'll just pick on this one. It doesn't mean that you are not going to be breached. However, if that incident were to happen, you're reducing kind of, they reduce what they fine you with, right? Mm-hmm. Because one of the issues with being breached is it's very expensive to fix that that incident. So you're charged per record, you have to pay an auditor. So if you were doing everything you possibly could to be safe and to protect your network and to protect your clients, the cost is going to be lower. It's not going to go away. It's still going to be super expensive, but it reduces kind of the spend on the corporate end. But making sure you're compliant is always piece one. And there's vendors that support that. Obviously, we're one of them. It's a huge undertaking, and companies don't have IT staff. They don't have security staff. So outsourcing these pieces like you would with an accountant or a digital marketer, because that's where the expertise is, helps reduce those risks.
And maybe I'm even looking at this wrong in asking, you know, what do we do to make sure we don't get attacked? But maybe the right question is, what do we prepare for? Because we will get attacked. Someone will try to hack or breach our system, right? I mean, mm-hmm. like everybody's going to get hit sometime.
I mean, statistically speaking, and just in the reality of what it is, that's very true. And when you're talking about small to medium sized businesses, a lot of them think that they're too small to get breached. And I think this is a really important thing to address. You're not too small to be breached. You're more than likely to be breached because you lack the resources, generally speaking, to protect yourself. So bigger targets are actually smaller and medium-sized businesses. And a lot of people might think they haven't been breached yet, but the average breach, if it's just a malware, let's say they're pulling credit card information, mm-hmm. takes 200 days on average to find a breach if you're doing this on your own. So
wait a minute. You said 200 days?
On average, yeah, it's pretty incredible. So they just sit and they pull information and pull information and pull information. And that cost is going to be passed on to the business. This doesn't go to the payment processor. This doesn't go, it's solely your responsibility. So it's really unfortunate that they do go for so long undetected because, you know, it's just gross. The problem grows. So it really is an issue that people should be evaluating. What's the solution for it? How do they do it? And like we were saying, education, number one, partners that help support that, because becoming compliant is, it's not easy. It's just a huge task. So, you know, talking to people that can help with that, I think is huge. It's a 24/7, 365 day job to be compliant and safe.
Well said. This is Social Geek Radio, and tonight's guest for Cybersecurity Month in October is Aubrey Codier, Regional Director with NetSurion. Aubrey, in the few minutes we have left, anything new and exciting happening with NetSurion? Any big events or happenings coming up in the near future?
So we will be at Fast Casual. So if anybody is attending that seminar, we'll be out there for that. I'm actually participating in Marianne O'Connell's FBN to discuss cybersecurity. We are launching a couple of campaigns to help people get more familiar with SIEM. So potentially free trials. We offer free consultations on security. So we're just really out here trying to help you guys be educated, because it's an education process for sure. I'll be at Franchise Expo West, attending that show as well. So we're definitely out there in the community, and we'd love to meet everybody and say hi.
Very good.
Excellent. And if any of our listeners have any questions for you specifically on any of this stuff, what's the best way for them to reach you?
So the best way is probably my cell phone. It's always on me. So that number, if anybody wants to give me a call, is 760-637-4679, or by email, acodier@netsurion.com. If they were to visit our website, netsurion.com, we have a free ransomware risk assessment they can take. So if any of this has really resonated and they're not sure where their risks or liabilities might be, they can go there and take that. And we have some free consultations up there too that they can register for, and just tons of webinars and information for them to check out.
You are a busy person. And we know that because we are connected. We see you out there in cyberspace. The information you gave was fabulous. Thank you so much. And I'm looking forward to seeing you at the West Coast Expo. But in the meantime, I'm sure everybody will connect with you one way or another. You gave us lots of options here.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate your time. And I just hope everyone stays secure and safe. And I can't wait to see you.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Thanks for joining us.
I love that. Thanks for joining Social Geek Radio tonight, everybody.
Thank you. Good night.
Thanks for joining Social Geek Radio. Brought to you by Deb Evans Consulting and Kigo. Unlock your digital potential. Copyright 2017 Social Geek Radio.